65. The one who deserves it. 1.5 years ago. What is a woman's place in this modern world? Yasna Kolin's words read. I rebel against this question, though so many of my peers ask it. The inherent bias in the inquiry seems invisible to so many of them. They consider themselves progressive because they are willing to challenge many of the assumptions of the past. They ignore the greater assumption that a place for women must be defined and set forth to begin with. Half of the population must somehow be reduced to the role arrived at by a single conversation. No matter how broad that role is, it will be, by nature, a reduction from the infinite variety that is womanhood. I say that there is no role for women. There is instead a role for each woman, and she must make it for herself. For some, it will be the role of scholar. For others, it will be the role of wife. For others, it will be both. For yet others, it will be neither. Do not mistake me in assuming I value one woman's role above another. My point is not to stratify our society. We have done that far too well already. My point is to diversify our discourse. A woman's strength should not be in her role, whatever she chooses it to be, but in the power to choose that role. It is amazing to me that I even have to make this point, as I see it as the very foundation of our conversation. Shallan closed the book. Not 2 hours had passed since Father had ordered Helleran's assassination. After Shallan had retreated to her room, a pair of Father's guards had appeared in the hallway outside. Probably not to watch her. She doubted that Father knew that she'd overheard his order for Helleran to be killed. The guards were to see that Melisse, Shallan's stepmother, did not try to flee. That could be a mistaken assumption. Shallan didn't even know if Melisse was still alive, following her screaming and Father's cold, angry ranting. Shallan wanted to hide, to hunker down in her closet with blankets wrapped around her, eyes squeezed shut. The words in Yasna Kolin's book strengthened her, though in some ways it seemed laughable for Shallan to even be reading it. High Lady Kolin talked about the nobility of choice, as if every woman had such opportunity. The decision between being a mother or a scholar seemed a difficult decision in Yasna's estimation. That wasn't a difficult choice at all. That seemed like a grand place to be. Either would be delightful when compared to a life of fear in a house seething with anger, depression, and hopelessness. She imagined what High Lady Kolin must be, a capable woman who did not do as others insisted she must, a woman with power, authority, a woman who had the luxury of seeking her dreams. What would that be like? Shallan stood up. She walked to the door, then cracked it open. Though the evening had grown late, the two guards still stood at the other end of the hallway. Shallan's heart thumped, and she cursed her timidity. Why couldn't she be like women who acted, instead of being someone who hid in her room with a pillow around her head? Shaking, she slipped from the room. She padded toward the soldiers, feeling their eyes on her. One raised his hand. She didn't know the man's name. Once she'd known all of the guards' names. Those men whom she'd grown up with had been replaced now. My father will need me, she said, not stopping at the guard's gesture. Though he was light-eyed, she did not need to obey him. She might spend most of every day in her rooms, but she was still of a much higher rank than he. She walked by the men, trembling hands clenched tight. They let her go. When she passed her father's door, she heard soft weeping inside. Melisse still lived, thankfully. She found Father in the feast hall, sitting alone with both fire pits roaring full of flames. He slumped at the high table, lit by harsh light, staring at the tabletop. Shallan slipped into the kitchen before he noticed her and mixed his favorite. Deep violet wine, spiced with cinnamon and warmed against the chill day. He looked up as she walked back into the feast hall. She set the cup before him, looking into his eyes. No darkness there today. Just him. That was very rare these days.
"They won't listen, Shallan," he whispered. "Nobody will listen. I hate that I have to fight my own house. They should support me."
He took the drink.
"Wakim just stares at the wall half the time. Jushu is worthless, and Balat fights me every step. Now Melis, too."
"I will speak to them," Shallan said. He drank the wine, then nodded.
"Yes, yes, that would be good. Balat is still out there with those cursed axe-hound corpses. I'm glad they're dead. That litter was full of runts. He didn't need them anyway."
Shallan stepped into the chill air. The sun had set, but lanterns hung on the eaves of the manor house. She had rarely seen the gardens at night, and they took on a mysterious cast in the darkness. Vines looked like fingers reaching from the void, seeking something to grab and pull away into the night. Balat lay on one of the benches. Shallan's feet crunched on something as she stepped up to him. Claws from kremlings pulled free of their bodies one after another, then tossed to the ground. She shivered.
"You should go," she said to Balat.
He sat up.
"What?"
"Father can no longer control himself," Shallan said softly. "You need to leave while you can. I want you to take Melis with you." Balat ran his hand through his mess of curly dark hair.
"Melis? Father will never let her go. He'd hunt us down."
"He'll hunt you anyway," Shallan said. "He hunts Helleran. Earlier today he ordered one of his men to find our brother and assassinate him."
"What?"
Balat stood.
"That bastard. I...
He looked to Shallan in the darkness, face lit by starlight. Then he crumpled, sitting back down, holding his head in his hands.
"I'm a coward, Shallan," he whispered. "Oh, Stormfather, I'm a coward. I won't face him. I can't."
"Go to Helleran," Shallan said. "Could you find him if you needed to?"
Yes. He left me the name of a contact in Valaf who could put me in touch with him."
"Take Melis and Elita. Go to Helleran."
"I won't have time to find Helleran before Father catches up."
"Then we will contact Helleran," Shallan said. "We will make plans for you to meet him, and you can schedule your flight for a time when Father is away. He is planning another trip to Vaidenar a few months from now. Leave when he's gone. Get a head start."
Balat nodded. "Yes, yes, that is good."
"I will draft a letter to Helleran," Shallan said. "We need to warn him about Father's assassins, and we can ask him to take the three of you in."
"You shouldn't have to do this, small one," Balat said, head down. "I'm the eldest after Helleran. I should have been able to stop Father by now, somehow."
"Take Melis away," Shallan said. "That will be doing enough." He nodded. Shallan returned to the house, passing Father mulling over his disobedient family, and fetched some things from the kitchen. Then she returned to the steps and looked upward. Taking a few deep breaths, she went over what she would say to the guards if they stopped her. Then she raced up them and opened the door to her father's sitting room.
"Wait," the hallway guard said. "He left orders. Nobody in or out."
Shallan's throat tightened, and even with her practice, she stammered as she spoke. "I just talked to him. He wants me to speak with her." The guard inspected her, chewing on something. Shallan felt her confidence wilt, heart racing. Confrontation. She was as much a coward as Balat. He gestured to the other guard who went downstairs to check. He eventually returned, nodding, and the first man reluctantly waved for her to continue. Shallan entered. Into the place. She had not entered this room in years, not since... She raised a hand, shading her eyes against the light coming from behind the painting. How could Father sleep in here? How was it that nobody else looked? Nobody else cared? That light was blinding. Fortunately, Melisse was curled in an easy chair facing that wall, so Shallan could put her back to the painting and obstruct the light. She rested a hand on her stepmother's arm. She didn't feel that she knew Melisse, despite years living together. Who was this woman who would marry a man everyone whispered had killed his previous wife? Melisse oversaw Shallan's education, meaning she searched for new tutors each time the women fled. But Melisse herself couldn't do much to teach Shallan. One could not teach what one did not know. Mother? Shallan asked. She used the word. Melisse looked. Despite the blazing light of the room, Shallan saw the woman's lip was split and bleeding. She cradled her left arm. Yes, it was broken. Shallan took out the gauze and cloth she had fetched from the kitchen, then began to wipe down the wounds. She would have to find something to use as a splint for that arm.
Why doesn't he hate you? Melisse said harshly. He hates everyone but you.
Shallan dabbed at the woman's lip.
Stormfather, why did I come to this cursed household?
Melisse shuddered.
He'll kill us all. One by one, he'll break us and kill us. There's a darkness inside of him. I've seen it, behind his eyes, a beast.
You're going to leave, Shallan said softly.
Melisse barked a laugh.
He'll never let me go. He never lets go of anything.
You're not going to ask, Shallan whispered. Balat is going to run and join Helleran, who has powerful friends. He's a shard bearer. He'll protect the both of you.
We'll never reach him, Melisse said. And if we do, why would Helleran take us in? We have nothing.
Helleran is a good man.
Melisse twisted in her seat, staring away from Shallan, who continued her ministrations. The woman whimpered when Shallan bound her arm, but wouldn't respond to questions. Finally, Shallan gathered up the bloodied cloths to throw away.
If I go, Melisse whispered, and Balat with me, who will he hate? Who will he hit? Maybe you, finally, the one who actually deserves it?
Maybe, Shallan whispered, then left.